Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It could be the beginning of something great. Russian and Ukrainian delegations met face-to-face for the first time in weeks. They met in Istanbul, Turkey, under the prodding and encouragement of the president, the strongman of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And there are comments on both sides indicating that there may be an upcoming meeting at some point between Zelensky and Putin, and that some kind of agreement is possible. The United States taking the position, which is the right position to take, that it is up to Ukraine to accept or to reject proposals. They have made a series of proposals, Ukraine has, on which they would end this war, but it isn't ending yet. There has been all kinds of fighting going on. Of course, the suffering continues to go on. One of the things that shows you how fragile this thing is that both Russian and Ukrainian negotiators were urged not to touch any food. Why not? Because one of the reasons the last round of negotiations broke down is apparently a number of people were poisoned. That's not a good sign when you're dealing with Vladimir Putin. I mean, how good is a sign going to be when you're dealing with Vladimir Putin? You remember all of those surveys and studies that talked about the horrors and the terrors of using screen time? There was a study that found that 7 in 10 parents had real fears that their kids were becoming internet zombies, and kids spend more time on their screens than they do with parents or siblings or anybody else. Well, there's a new study, big one, from Britain that says, take it easy, Mom. Don't worry. Dad, relax. It's okay. That there's a certain period of time when you're growing up, you have to watch out for the influence of screens. But generally, it's not that bad. And a couple of fascinating polls about what Americans would do, and the reactions are very different depending on who you are. If we were invaded here by Russia, would Americans fight, stay and fight, like the Ukrainians have done, and with increasing success, it would appear. And another poll from asking Russian Americans and Ukrainian Americans, okay, if you had one word in English to describe Vladimir Putin, what would that word be? You can give your own answers if you want to give that also. There is so much news on this. After a day of talks, Ukrainian negotiators outlined some peace proposals that Russia said it would leak into. And Moscow said it would drastically reduce military activity near Kyiv and Chernihiv to increase mutual trust and create the necessary conditions for further negotiations. Look, after what the Russians have done to that country, to whole cities, to increase mutual trust, I don't think there's a whole lot of trust on the Ukrainian side. Nor should there be. There can be what Reagan said, trust but verify. And how do you verify? And this is the key part of what's fascinating about the negotiations they're pursuing, is they would have guardian countries. They would have countries, including Canada, European countries, and Israel, that would be called upon to monitor any agreement and to make sure that that agreement was kept on both sides. Speaking to lawmakers on Tuesday, The Pentagon's top general overseeing U.S. troops in Europe said that he sees shifting dynamics on the ground domain near Kyiv, appearing to confirm that some Russian forces in the region are pulling back. Nevertheless, Secretary of State Antony Blinken expressed skepticism about the latest round of negotiations, saying there is what Russia says and what Russia does. Asked if the United States detects that Russia has been shifting its military offensive away from Kyiv, Blinken said he couldn't say, adding that he can't tell you whether these statements reflect a reorientation on eastern and southern Ukraine or whether this is meant means by which Russia is trying to deflect and deceive. John Kirby is taking questions at the Pentagon right now about this complicated and thorny situation. Let's listen in.
Russia's pulled back on actually sending supplies into Ukraine. Are they still basically continuing their own convoys of moving supplies, fuel, food, anything like that? Or if they stop doing that, it is just the troops that have been basically...
Again, very early stages here. They've only just... recently, in the last few hours, made this proclamation. So we have seen a small number begin to move away from Kyiv. That's about the most I can give you. I don't have any information on their resupply efforts for troops that are still arrayed against Kyiv. I would remind that the Russians still have a significant majority of their assembled combat power, to include logistics and sustainment capability available to them inside Ukraine. Yeah.
Thank you, John. So just I'm trying to understand something. If you're talking about a small number, do you think just what you're seeing now, or do you think there's going to be more numbers? Because you're saying they might be pulling out these forces to redeploy somewhere else. If they are small numbers, are they going to make any difference if they were redeployed? Is it the beginning of something?
It's a great question from Minister Shoigu. I don't know, Fadi. All I can tell you is what we're seeing. We're seeing a small number now that appears to be moving away from Kyiv. This on the same day that the Russians say they're withdrawing. But we're not prepared to call this a retreat or even a withdrawal. We think that what they probably have in mind is a repositioning to prioritize elsewhere.
And do they still have enough forces on the ground around Kyiv in case they decided to relaunch some kind of attack on the city?
Again, I'm not going to predict what the Russian military plan is here. My answer to Bob... very, very small numbers that we've seen move at this point. They still have the vast majority of the forces that they had assembled around Kyiv are still there. As I've said before, we largely assess that they are in a defensive posture. They have several days ago stopped trying to advance on Kyiv and sort of took up defensive positions. Yeah.
Three questions, please. Can you update us on the number? Can you update us on the number of missiles? I'll just ask one more at a time if that's easier.
That's actually much easier.
Yeah. What's the number of missiles that Russia has launched in Ukraine at this point?
I don't have an update on the missiles. We know that they have since the beginning of this launched more than 1,000, but I don't have an exact number.
Okay. Does the Pentagon still consider Russia a near peer competitor?
I think you can take away from. What we talked about yesterday when we released the budget, and we talk about Russia as an acute threat, and that's how we're looking at Russia right now.
But that's not the same as what you've been saying. You've been saying your competitors, Russia and China, and now we're hearing acute threat. So has it changed in the Pentagon's case?
We consider Russia as an acute threat based on certainly what we've been seeing happen over the last month.
Okay, and then my last question is about Ukraine's peace proposal. It seems like they envision some sort of security guarantee, like an Article 5 with NATO, with a country like Poland or Turkey or Canada. So my question is, does the Pentagon think that's feasible? Because these are NATO countries, and establishing some sort of collective defense with the NATO country would essentially bring in all of NATO with this. So does the Pentagon find a proposal like that feasible?
I think we're not going to get ahead of where Ukraine and Russia are on their discussions. This has got to be a negotiation between Russia and Ukraine.
And that's John Kirby at the Pentagon talking about the latest. Do you remember those 13, and some people said 19, heroic Ukrainian sailors at the beginning of the war who told a Russian warship to go beep themselves? and they were all supposed to be dead. Well, they're alive, and in fact, some of them are out. They were exchanged in a prisoner exchange, and they're getting awards from the Ukrainian government. That and more coming up on the MedMed Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now, 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280, and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
And on the Michael Medved show, though there are elements of encouragement concerning potential negotiations between the Ukrainians and the Russians, does anyone honestly believe that Putin has given up his dream, which was basically to swallow up all of Ukraine, not just to get some referendums that would take place in Crimea. They've already had one in Crimea. That they would have some kind of negotiations about Crimea, which they've already seized, about parts of the Donbass that they've already seized, but that they would allow Kyiv and Lviv and Mariupol and the other cities of Ukraine to try to rebuild and re-exist as separate, independent, sovereign cities in a separate country. The willingness to accept that, given the fact that, remember, Putin came into this war. He said the one thing that was necessary about the war was the decapitation of the government of Ukraine. That means you, Zelensky. And not just the decapitation, but the denazification. And given the 25 million, approximately, Russians who died at the hands of the Nazis during World War II, the Russians won that war, but far more Russians were killed than Germans in the fight on the Eastern Front between the Russians and the Germans. In any event, given that history, to talk about denazification implies total war. Well, the total war hasn't gone so well for the Russians. There's an entire other worry, and Americans need to be concerned about it. Yesterday, our peripatetic Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, was actually in Israel, and he was in the Negev, in Sdeh Boker, which is associated as sort of a historic former kibbutz that was founded at least partially by David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, sort of like the Israeli Mount Vernon, but no slaves, no slave quarters, and the founder of the country, really, if anyone was the George Washington of Israel, it was David Ben-Gurion, and he lived there for the remainder of his life under very modest circumstances. And because he made some of the first moves to try to reconcile between Jews and Arabs yesterday, when they were together with the foreign minister of Israel, Yair Lapid, and the foreign ministers from Morocco and from United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Egypt. They were all linking arms and talking about working together and forming a joint alliance against Iran. This is the fruit of the Abraham Accords, which was one of the biggest achievements, for sure, of the Trump administration. And today, a terrible headline, Arab gunman kills at least five people in Tel Aviv suburb. This occurred in B'nai Brak. And B'nai Brak is what is called an ultra-Orthodox neighborhood. It's a neighborhood where you may have heard something about Rabbi Kanievsky, who just passed away at age 96, and they had over 300,000 people for his funeral. It was the biggest crowd, they think, that had ever been assembled in modern Israel. And in any event, B'nai Brak was where his headquarters were, and it is an intensely religious area where most of the people are too busy studying, basically, and trying to study Torah to get too deeply involved in politics or this kind of horror. This is a story from Reuters. An Arab gunman killed at least five people in a Tel Aviv suburb on Tuesday before he was fatally shot, the National Ambulance Service said, the latest in a string of deadly attacks in Israel. Amateur video broadcast on Israeli television station showed a man dressed in black and pointing an assault rifle, walking down a street in B'nai Brak, a Jewish ultra-Orthodox city on the outskirts of Israel's commercial capital. What's interesting is we're coming up in just a couple of weeks to the Jewish holiday of Passover. And at the very beginning of the Passover Haggadah, the story of Passover that you read every year, there's a reference to B'nai Brak, because it is where sages, literally 2,000 years ago, in the first century, were gathering to study the story of the Exodus, and it says they were in B'nai Brak, same place. And what does this have to do with? It has to do with, and people have been warning about this, that Ramadan is coming. And they've had three major attacks, and a total of 11 people have been killed by knife attacks, gun attacks, at police officers and others just shot down. The Israeli media report that, quoting unidentified security officials, the assailant was a Palestinian from a village near the city of Jenin in the Palestinian Authority. In B'nai Brak, witnesses said the gunman began shooting at apartment balconies and then at people in the street and in a car. A Magen David Adam, which means the Red Star of David, that's the Israeli version of Red Cross, ambulance service said he shot dead five people, raising to 11 the number of Israelis killed by Arab assailants over the past week. The terrorist was liquidated, ambulance spokesman Zaki Heller said, and police officers said officers fatally shot the gunman. And there's one paramedic named Menachem Englander who said, I live on Hashnaim Street in B'nai Brak, and I was at home when I heard gunshots, and then I immediately went out on the street and saw a terrorist pointing a weapon at me. By a miracle, his weapon jammed, and he couldn't shoot. Last week, an Arab citizen of Israel killed four people in a stabbing and car ramming attack in the city of Be'er Sheva, in the far south of Israel, at the edge of the Negev, the big desert far south of Israel, before he was shot dead by a passerby. Israeli authorities said he was an Islamic State sympathizer, an Islamic State. I know, everyone thought they were done. They claimed credit for those killings. Look, it's a terrible thing, and I think it reassures Israelis about what has been happening with the position of Israel relative to the rest of the world, that now people are talking about Israel playing a role in helping to monitor some kind of peace agreement, if there is one, between Zelensky and Putin. So what about Putin's reaction to Biden saying, my God, we need to, this man must not remain in power. And so how about the reaction there from Putin and the rest of the administration? We'll be right back on the Medved Show.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay, like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As Russia and Ukrainian delegates meet today in Istanbul, Turkey, for the latest round of peace talks, Secretary of State Antony Blinken was asked to give an update on the current status of those negotiations.
I would leave it to our Ukrainian partners to characterize whether there is any genuine progress.
The move comes as Russia is reportedly reducing its military activity near Kyiv. President Biden is hosting Singapore's prime minister at the Oval Office on Tuesday, the president affirming the U.S.'s commitment to defending the Indo-Pacific region.
My administration is strongly supportive of moving rapidly to implement the Indo-Pacific strategy.
Biden also set to sign an anti-lynching bill into law later this afternoon. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extend your life with Extendovice.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Talks resumed between Ukrainian negotiators and Russian negotiators. A missile struck a regional administration building in Mykolaiv. The Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister Irina Vereshchuk said 3 humanitarian corridors were agreed upon for the day, including one directly from the besieged city of Mariupol. And that city, which originally had a population before the war of 400,000, is now down to less than 100,000. Meanwhile, Vladimir Medinsky, who's an advisor to President Putin, appeared to suggest that Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky could meet in person if a peace agreement were signed. Look, when they're warning people to be careful not to touch anything because of poison or to eat anything while you're negotiating with these Russians, I hope Zelensky, and I'm sure he would, brings very strong security with him. Members of the Ukrainian delegation said they proposed that countries such as Israel, they mentioned Israel first, Turkey and France would guarantee Ukraine security in the future, in exchange for Kyiv's neutrality and a pledge not to host foreign military bases or forces. All of this is going on. The story about Snake Island, a Ukrainian border guard who reportedly voiced a defiant message to approaching Russian troops, has received an award for demonstrating, quote, the firmness and strength of the Ukrainian Cossack spirit. Ukrainian official said. Roman Hrybov returned to central Ukraine's Cherkassky region after Russian forces took him prisoner from his base on Snake Island during the first days of the invasion. Ihor Taburets, the region's governor, said in a statement as he presented the guard with a commendation for merits to Cherkasy region. Rybov is credited with telling an approaching Russian warship to go beep yourself in a recording that attracted widespread attention and became a rallying cry for supporters of Ukraine. 13 guards on the desolate island in the Black Sea were first believed to have been killed, but the State Border Guard Service of Ukraine later said the soldiers may have survived. Well, they did. Last week, Ukrainian officials said 19 sailors from Snake Island were freed in a prisoner exchange with Russia. Taburets said the soldiers on Snake Island demonstrated that Ukraine has true defenders who exemplified the fortitude of the Cossack spirit. And with all of this talk of potential negotiation, opening to humanitarian corridors, with Putin indicating that they are definitely going to pull back and not have a battle to the death to take over Kyiv, oil fell nearly $100 a barrel, and the Dow jumped nearly 200 points. President Biden reacted this way today on the news that Russia announced it's pulling forces back from Kyiv and elsewhere in northern Ukraine. This is during a press conference where the President of the United States appeared with the Prime Minister of very prosperous Singapore. Here's what President Biden said. Clip one.
We'll see. I don't read anything into it until I see what their actions are. We'll see if they follow through on what they're suggesting. There are negotiations that have begun today, or not begun, continued today, one in Turkey and others. I had a meeting with the heads of state of our four allies in NATO, France, Germany, the United States, and Great Britain. And there seems to be a consensus that let's just see what they have to offer. We'll find out what they do. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to keep strong the sanctions. We're going to continue to provide the Ukrainian military with their capacity to defend themselves. And we're going to continue to keep a close eye on what's going on.
Okay, and yesterday, you may remember, there was this desperate desire by his aides, basically, to undermine the president. He was somebody who said, at the end of his speech in Warsaw, this man must not remain in power. And at his press conference yesterday, he was asked whether that represented a message to the Russian people or a change in American policy. And here's how the President of the United States tried to clarify it. It's been widely interpreted as a gaffe, but a number of editorialists, very forcefully Jennifer Rubin, for instance, have said, no, it's not a gaffe. It's a gaffe on the part of his aides who are speaking without the President's clarity. Here's President Biden yesterday. Six.
I was talking to them, to the Russian people. The last part of the speech was talking to the Russian people, telling them what we thought. And I was communicating this to not only the Russian people, but the whole world. This is just stating a simple fact that this kind of behavior is totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. And the way to deal with it is to strengthen and put keep NATO completely united and help Ukraine where we can.
Okay, and right now it's Russia that appears to need help or some reorientation. For instance, there's a dramatic disorganization, and which has continued with the Russian troops, the Russian invading forces, and a senior advisor to President Zelensky of Ukraine, Sergei Leschenko, spoke on CNN about what's happening as the Russians are withdrawing from positions close to Kyiv and elsewhere. Clip two.
this horrible topic, but a lot of bodies of Russian soldiers just laid on our ground with a horrible smell, with a horrible conditions. If you heard President said that dogs eating these bodies, it's horrible, but it's true. And Russia does not take measures to stop it, to prevent it, to take bodies of their soldiers back home. Unfortunately, it's 21st century, but it's going on in the middle of Europe.
Okay, and on a happier note, and again, obviously, the very reality and brutality of that is a kind of thing that discourages the Putin-esque belief that this is going to be an easy campaign, it'll just be a walk in the park, and no substantial casualties, when there are estimates of up to 40,000 Russian casualties. Here is Christian Amanpour talking about the possible implications of a Putin-Zelensky face-to-face meeting. Clip 8.
The Russians raising this possibility, and they use some flowery language, of a Putin-Zelensky meeting. What do you see there, Christian?
Yeah. Well, look, again, if that was to be the case, it is another major concession to President Zelensky, who has asked from the very beginning, even before the invasion, to have face-to-face talks with President Putin. Up until just yesterday or the day before, the Kremlin was saying there is not enough progress in these talks, i.e. maybe not enough progress for them on the ground, to have that kind of meeting. If they are, in fact, floating that now, that is something that President Zelensky had asked for. He kept saying, he said it to me just before the invasion when we were in Munich. He said, I don't know what Putin wants. That's why I want to have a face-to-face meeting. Putin poo-pooed that. He wanted to talk to other world leaders. He would love to talk to the United States. But he poo-pooed that. And now if it's true that they're raising that, that again is another important move. The real bottom line is how to get Putin off this ledge.
And can you shove him off? That raises a question. What words do you think of when you think about Putin? There was a poll that asked that question. We'll get to it coming up. Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Vrovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com and 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you think Washington State's headed in the right direction, well then this message is not for you. But if you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes, and its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Washington State is our home, and it needs WPC more than ever. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved Show, we are living through history-making times. You can get some living history and connect with it in a very personal and, I believe, enjoyable and meaningful way when you become a Medhead. And a Medhead Plus subscription, you can download our daily show, no ads, and on demand. Plus, you can stream hundreds of history programs. You pay a little, you learn a lot. How little do you pay? It's 22 cents a day. Really not much. Go to michaelmedved.com or go to medvedhistorystore.com and become a Medhead Plus member, which gives you access to all of this at a very, very reasonable cost. The problem with polls when they get weird is not the way they're conducted, it's the questions they ask, the way they're set up. And there's a USA Today Suffolk University polls where they set up two sort of twin polls, and it's weird because they didn't ask Americans. They asked Americans on one poll with Russian heritage and Americans on another poll with a Ukrainian heritage. And one of the questions they asked is, what word best describes Vladimir Putin? And I guess they felt that the people here of Russian heritage would have a more positive view of Putin. Are you kidding me? Most Russian Americans, and we know a lot of them, and wonderful people, salt of the earth, patriotic Americans, for the most part, very hardworking and creative, just great people. And they came to the United States because they wanted to get the hell out of Russia, not because they like Putin's dream of rebuilding the Russian Empire. By the way, if there's somebody out there who says that's a beautiful dream, boy, would that be great to have Russia ruling again over Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan and Armenia and Azerbaijan and Belarus and Moldova and, you know, all the rest of them. Wow, the good old glory days of Stalin. We'd really like to go back to that. Do you know how many people Stalin killed? And the whole Gulag Archipelago, the array of prison camps and torture chambers. And, okay, so for Russian Americans and Ukrainian Americans, there wasn't much of a difference. Everybody hated Putin, of course. And that's appropriate. The most frequent response from both the Russian group and the Ukrainian group was dictator or tyrant. The second word
was evil or monster. Near the top of both lists were also crazy and sane, and a catch-all that sounds something like the title of a famous children's book, Awful, Horrible, Despicable, Terrible. And by the way, one of the most powerful and historically significant czars was known as Ivan the Terrible, Ivan Grozny. And so I'm not sure terrible would have been such a terrible insult to Vladimir Vladimirovich. These polls were taken between March 5th and March 10th. And what's interesting about this is, of course, everything is concerning elections. We have a big, crucial election coming up for control of Congress in November. President Biden was more approved of, got higher ratings than Putin, but his approval ratings on handling Ukraine were still mediocre at 40% among Russian Americans and 35% among Ukrainian Americans. Why would Russian Americans support Biden more than Ukrainian Americans? And again, it seems to me a somewhat mystifying poll. The ongoing goes together with another poll, which shows, and this doesn't surprise me at all, and it's another weird poll conducted by Quinnipiac University, and the Quinnipiac poll surveyed 1,374 U.S. adults across the country, and out of those participants, 55%, when they were asked this question, said they would stay and fight. They were asked, would you stay and fight if Russia were to invade the United States the way it did Ukraine? And I'm actually a little bit surprised. We talked about this before, that it's only 55% who said that they would stay and fight. Because then again, when you also look at Ukraine, this is a misleading poll, because I don't believe that the majority of the refugees, it may be close to half, but there's no indication that these are people who just want to leave the country, get the heck out. They are many people who are hoping to come back to their homes when they're not in imminent danger of being blasted by some kind of Russian missile. And that's one of the reasons that the interesting part of this poll, of the Americans who said they would join the fight if the U.S. faced the same situation, most were men in older age groups. 45% of men between the ages of 18 and 34 said they'd stay and fight. That number increased to 57% for those in the 35 to 49 age range, and to 66% in the 50 to 64 age range. Also, 40% of women said they would fight, compared to 70% of men. And look, this is one of those things where if you look at the fact that back in World War II, the biggest baseball stars, the biggest movie stars, Jimmy Stewart, James Stewart, the star of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Philadelphia Story and so many great movies. He won an Oscar for Philadelphia Story, Best Supporting Actor. In any event, he went directly from the movie set to the United States Army Air Corps. They didn't have the Air Force yet. And he flew over 50 bombing missions. I mean, he was at very, very high risk. Henry Fonda, another big star back in those days, actually, and when you think about Henry Fonda, another Oscar winner at the end of his life for On Golden Pond, but And he also got, I think he got a special Oscar that year as well. But in any event, Henry Fonda joined the Navy and did not want to do a desk job or selling bonds or anything like that. He was in the Pacific and heroically. Now, the question here is, given the fact that at that time in our history, it was basically, there's 16 million Americans who either enlisted or were drafted at the time. And there was an expectation that this is what Americans, if they had the health and the well-being to do it, that they would have to do. And I think that what people are reading about and hearing about in Ukraine, and it's one of those things that inspires people and I believe is changing America for the better. I have a piece in Newsweek today about how I believe that the example of what is going on in Ukraine and what is going on in defense of that country is making Americans understand a little bit more that the people who disagree with you are not necessarily evil. People who are evil are people who do what Putin does, who are ruining whole cities, who are disrupting families, who are destroying people's entire livelihoods, destroying their lives for nothing, for a policy goal that is entirely unclear. You remember he started off in this war, he was going to denazify the Zelensky regime, which is, of course, ridiculous given Zelensky's descent from Holocaust survivors. I mean, the entire thing is so distasteful and it's tragic, but it's very, very important. Because, look, if somebody disagrees with you about mask mandates, that can be a really, really bitter disagreement. But someone who disagrees with you on either side is not evil. It's your fellow American. And we do, ultimately, in this dangerous world, need to stick together as part of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.